You're tuned into Totally Unrelated with Jay Snyder and Adrian Cosby. Enjoy.
We're in the belly of the beast again, Jackson, Ohio, with my best good friend, Jay Snyders.
God bless everyone.
Everyone that's here in Jackson, at least.
I played Tiny Tim in a play one time.
You did not.
I did. God bless us, everyone. That was my line.
That was your line. How long?
I fucked it up.
How old were you?
Fuck, I don't know, 8, 9.
Old enough to be swearing.
Right before I turned into an alcoholic.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. I shout out to the Jackson folks. We're back. And we did the show. We haven't been together since we did the show here in Jackson. So who was the show? It was for your cousin.
It was for my cousin that passed away, Ambria.
And I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was one of those situations where it was like, it almost didn't feel like a show. It almost felt like we were... just the life of the party, because the room was fully lit. Right. Everybody, it was like a couple kids there and stuff, and everybody was just like kind of watching us put on our best clown act,
watching us fuck around.
Yeah,
it was good. Did you do a show there one other time with us for Tabitha's brother?
Yes, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was. A similar situation. I think there was more people there, and they had the lights out and a spotlight and stuff like that. But yeah. It wasn't. I don't really even remember how it went or anything like that.
It was good. I remember it was good. Doug was on it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right? I think John too, maybe.
Yeah, it seems right. Damn if I know.
I saw those guys last night. Last night was the Rockies tribute to Corey Mintz.
I saw that. I wish I would have. Tuned in.
Well, a lot of people, I think we thought were going to tune in, and I was hanging out with Jer before, and for some reason, I kept doing this. I was like, whenever I would start a sentence, I was going to say, I'd say, let me say this. Well, I'll say this. Well, let me say this. And I was like, what
the fuck am I doing?
Am I turning into Vince Morris?
I said this to say this.
Yeah, let me say this so I can say this, and now I'm saying this. And I kept like beating myself up. And then I found myself, like, every time I would talk, I'd have to stop myself from saying it. But I've been talking to people all morning. I haven't said it. But
now
I could sense it's creeping in. But anyway, I said that to say this. The Rocky show was fun, but I had a situation that's never happened to me. Well, it hasn't happened to me in a long time. But it opened up a kind of a Pandora's box of awareness. In the last episode of the podcast, I was talking to Dwight about being in the moment and being present, just in general, as well as being on stage. And I hadn't really worked out any material to do last night. And then right before I went up, I was like, oh, I'll talk about this. And then I got up there and I couldn't remember. I was stringing together a premise with a different story that I have as a bit. So I was like, oh, I can use this premise to get into this bit. But I had it so not drilled in or cemented. It was like, it wasn't even like wet cement. It was literally like just
soupy
aggregate. It wasn't even, it had no Portland in it yet. And I got up there and there was a bunch of people from the Funny Bone there, and somebody brought an infant, and the infant in the back wasn't feeling my set. And it was like twice where I had to like interrupt what I was talking about to address the baby, you know, And I got laughs with that, but I couldn't. I was like, they were all backdoor laughs. I couldn't get any real laughs.
Using a baby? Are you a fucking prop comic?
Yeah, that's what I am. Bring the baby up here.
I'm gonna see the baby.
Pass the baby up. Just pass her up, bone up here.
Grab it by his head like a bone ball. Come on.
You gonna talk like a baby? Gonna get treated like a baby? I'd be like a Cleveland bus driver. I ain't scared. I ain't scared of no baby.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I ain't never been scared of a fucking baby.
I tell it like this. Ain't no baby on the planet can kick my ass.
Ain't no baby ever did nothing for me.
I ain't never had no baby loan me no money. And I swear I loan babies money. I ain't never getting paid baby back. You know, yeah. I ain't never got. I get babies formula, diapers. I ain't never got nothing from a baby. Except throw it up on, maybe.
Never even seen a baby.
I don't even know what a baby is. Babies don't even exist, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, like dinosaurs. It's just a myth.
A myth.
And female will ejaculate. It's the
same. I got peed on. That took a weird turn. But anyway, the Corey Mintz benefit was good. Mike Etchin did a couple Corey jokes, and John did 8 minutes of Corey's set, so that only left, 45 seconds after those two.
What was everybody just doing?
That was kind of the idea, that people would go up and talk about Corey, a story about Corey, or do some joke, or they didn't have to, but it was just like, they were kind of like creating a space for that to be okay. And it was pretty good, and John did a really good job doing Corey's jokes. John is really good at doing other people's material.
Yeah. Yep.
Not to say that that's what he does. I'm just saying, he's good at it when he does it.
It probably threw him off getting all those laughs and everything.
My opening line when I went up was, Mike Etchin, he can't even get laughs with Corey's jokes.
Oh.
And that got a decent enough laugh to upset the Etchin, but he's a listener. We love you, Mike.
I don't know him.
Yeah. He's, you'd know him if you saw him.
Dude, our buddy Jack Preston fucking sends me a text yesterday, dude, I'm about to lose my fucking mind. I'm going to burn this town down or whatever. I was like, fuck, what's going on, man? He's like, just call me. Too much to text. So I call him. I go, what's going on? Well, I found out via Facebook my son got married this morning. Said that he had been dating this girl for 4 or 5 years. And they broke up a couple weeks ago. He started dating this other girl. Now they're married. Jack and Heather's never even met the girl. Jack goes, fucking, she got a 5-year-old kid. I was like, God damn. I go, you're a grandpa. He goes, yeah, technically, I guess. He goes, fuck, I wasn't at 9 o'clock this morning.
That might be a CD title, Legally Grandpa. Grandpa on paper. That's strange, man. When I worked in Mississippi in construction, we worked for this big outfit that was out of Jacksonville, Florida, called Haskell. And they did design build projects all over the country. But when we would show up, it was not that dissimilar to showing up to a city that doesn't have comedy. And you show up with a Donnie Baker or something like that. And suddenly everybody's looking at you like, oh, my God, you're from somewhere else.
Yeah.
You're from the world.
They're just looking at you like, what?
But the people that were there, it was like we hired, when we went to this job in Mississippi, we hired, I think, 500 local people and just my company. And then there was subcontractors, because we were the general contractor. So other subs were hiring 100, 50, 25 people here and there, whatever. So we changed the whole economic strata once this project started, because it was a small town. And I remember the first couple weeks, guys that were local would come in married on Monday. I got married this weekend, man. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you were engaged.
Yeah. Got a job. Things looking right.
Man, I got that check, man. I was like, man, I'm starting to feel like a man. I better go ahead and just propose to this girl. She said yes. And she was like, well, let's just go right to the courthouse. And I was like, oh, you got bamboozled right there.
I don't know if I've ever told this story, but my cousin who lives in Toledo, he's over 70 years old, just a fucking maniac, but drinks so much screwdriver every day that his mustache has an orange ring around the fucking thing. He's been married 7, 8, 9 times. Just never divorces.
He just
gets married. But so then he was started dating this chick. And there's a guy that he went to school with, daughter. So we were just sitting there one time, and he's like, hey, Melinda, tell Jay about that time I whooped your dad's ass. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, he said, they go up to the courthouse in Toledo. He goes, but now, partner, he's like, I got her this beautiful blue wedding dress, big fluffy bottom and shit. I'm like, a prom dress is what? He's like, yeah, I got her, just this beautiful wedding dress. Took her down to the... He goes, oh, man, we went down to the courthouse the whole nine yards.
Spared no expense.
I was like, damn. So then he goes in. They go, have you ever been married? He goes, nope. And they go, yeah, you have. It shows up right here. And so basically it's perjury because you swear that you have and all that. And so they basically won't give you your marriage license that day.
Yeah, you got to come back Monday.
You got to come back Monday. So basically just a pain in your ass for lying or whatever. So he comes out, and he walks out on the courthouse steps, and her mom and dad standing out there and said, see, we told you he's never going to marry you. Fucking, he's like, no, partner, I said, fuck this. We went, jumped in the Chevy and fucking just went to Michigan and got married. Went to the courthouse and the whole fucking nine yards. But so then they've been married for... They was married for a few years, whatever, and then Melinda fucks his nephew in the backyard.
Well, at least they kept it in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and so then, so his sister finds out about it and goes and tells him, like, look, fucking Melinda fucked my son or whatever, and he's just sitting there, and he's like, all right. And she goes, no. Benny, don't do anything crazy. Ah, hell, sis, I ain't going to. She goes, well, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm just going to wait till she gets home, beat her brains in with the ball back. So she fucking, a couple hours later, she comes walking through the fucking door, and he fucking takes the old Louisville slugger upside the fucking melon. But he didn't really fucking get her good and square and true, because she's a scrapper. Don't get me wrong. She a grappler. She got shoulders. And fucking, she ends up fucking taking the ball bat from him and fucking working him over with it. And fucking, so he ends up going to jail for 6 or 8 months or some shit like that. And he calls me, this is like New Year's Eve 2 years ago, whatever, he calls me. And he's like, hey, partner, got out. Fucking. I was like, shit, man, how long you been in there? Ah, about 8 months. Yeah, they started calling me Tink Tink in there. I go, what the hell for? He goes, what? You know how when you hit something with a metal ball bat, that sound it makes? Oh, fucking dude, he is ooh, fucking hilarious.
Oh, golly gee willikers. You know, and it's funny that he didn't equate doing anything crazy. No, I ain't going to do nothing crazy.
No, what are you going to do? I'm going to wait for her to get home, beat her brains in a fucking ball bat.
I wouldn't even have, like, the strength. I mean, like a souvenir bat, maybe? Like a little wooden souvenir bat?
Oh, yeah,
a
table leg or something, fucking...
Yeah, yeah. Like a... I don't even think I could use, like, a fireplace poker. That's heavy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's too dense.
Maybe the shovel.
Oh,
the brush. He has some soot on you.
I mean, I would hit a bitch with a coconut, but other than that, you know...
Oh. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the show Naked and Afraid?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what I thought the show was. Just based off the title, so I was like, that's something I'll never watch. And then I think I made a joke about it to one of my friends one time, and he was like, oh, no, no. No, it's a good show. And I was like, what? And he's like, no, it's not like American Idol. You know what I mean? Where there's going to be a certain number of people that are like, already making money singing, and then a certain number of people are like, I got talent, you know, I'm gonna sing. These are all people that have some provable or I don't know, accredited survival training,
right?
So it's not like they're not just like mopes off the street, although sometimes they get out there and within, like, there's a couple of Marines washed out, you know, before the female partner. And I think part of it is because they put a man and a woman, the dynamic of having to communicate and get things done. And what I hear more than anything else is, it's like the women say, he doesn't want to listen to me or acts like I don't have any ideas. And a lot of times, it's more of that the man is like, has a better, not even a better, he has a plan. He may or may not have fully communicated it well or whatever, but because he's not asking for input, it's like not a symbiotic relationship or whatever. And I saw one of these,
nice word.
One of these, thank you, Green Beret. And it was like, you know, the end of day one or whatever, and the girl's like getting frustrated or whatever, and she voices her opinions to him, and he's like a, I mean, he's like a jarhead basically, you know, he's go go go, and he's, you know, he's excited
Move
about
it.
I mean, it's like Green Berets, what are they? They're Army.
Yeah.
So he's not. The Green Berets are closer to Marines in the Army, but Marines are very much like, no, man, it was great. We dug a hole. It was raining. We laid in there for like 3 days. You know, it's like for everybody else would be like, I would have died. They would have been like, I'm looking
that's
forward to
it. That's a personal hell.
Yeah. Is
the Green Berets Army? They're some kind of military.
They're some type of special force of their branch.
Yeah.
And somebody's screaming at us right now like, you got to get your American card pulled, buddy. You ain't even fucking American. You're that Green Beret.
Well, the Army has the Rangers.
The Army also has the Delta Force.
Yeah.
And
they also got that digital camo over. You know, and that's what I like about most everything is digital. Everything's going digital now, even our fucking camo.
Isn't that crazy? What they do that for?
Well, I think that they drew straws, and the fucking Army come up short.
I'm looking up Green Beret, guys. I'm sorry. I know there's people that just, it's Army Special Forces, colloquially known as Green Berets.
Green Beret.
I love it. Yeah, okay. Well, at least we were right.
You God,
blasphemy. 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 Anyway, so the Green Beret guy listens. He takes the data in. It's a data acquisition. That's a term we're using in the military right now. I acquired the data from my comrade. And do you know that it was like one of the most successful ones I've ever seen? He listened. And even though he was still leading the whole thing, he would be like, what do you think we should do next? Do you think we should do this?
That is the key to a fucking good relationship.
In anything that you do. In anything.
Equal.
In a male-female relationship, in a work relationship, in a group setting where somebody's got to be the leader. If you're like, and I think that's what's most interesting about Donald Trump right now is that his two closest advisors, his daughter and his daughter's husband, are both Democrats.
I don't believe that.
They are. I mean, it's like, let's put it this way. They may or may not be right now, but they've always voted Democrat. And this other guy, this Jared Kushner guy, nobody's ever heard him speak. It's like, there's no, like, audio or video of him ever speaking to anybody publicly. I'm like, this guy's a genius and maybe a wizard.
I guarantee it.
I guarantee. Go ahead.
Was just talking about the military or whatever, but when we were in high school, there was the principal, he was an ex-Marine. His name was Mr. Owlsasser or some shit like that.
Sound like a fucking jarhead.
So Jared gets out of doing, he did about a year in jail or whatever. Gets out, and he's fucking, they call him to the office or whatever. So on his way to the office, he takes his Xanax out of his pocket that was in a cellophane, throws him in the trash, goes to the office, and they just go, hey, you're supposed to go to your aunt's after school or whatever. And he's like, oh, all right. So then he's going back, and he's like, well, fuck. And they get them Xanax back. So he's digging through the trash, and they come through and see him. So they're like, what the fuck is he digging through the trash for? So they dig through the trash, find the Xanax. Now he's in the fucking office because they're, you know, suspect him of looking for Xanax in the trash can. So for whatever reason, they fucking called my dad to come in and fucking, so my dad and my aunt go in there, and I guess, you know, dad's just sitting there like, you know, I'm fucking tired of you picking on my boy and fucking, and I want my Xanax back. Fucking,
I need my medication.
And so dad goes, yeah, I heard you was an ex-Marine, and he was a real smug son of a bitch, the principal, and he kind of like gets a smug look on his face and starts shaking his head, yes. But dad wasn't finished with the sentence. So he goes, I heard you was an ex-Marine. He's shaking his head, yes. Ex-Marine, jug-headed asshole. I heard you was an ex-Marine, yeah. Jug-headed asshole.
Oh, dude. That too.
Dude, there was a There used to be, right here on the fucking corner, there used to be a bar called Candy's. Little drive through and a little small bar inside there. And so the old man went through the drive through one time, gets a 40 of King Cobra, or one of them shit.
King Cobra was the first 40 I ever drank.
Ugh. So he goes through, gets a,
how dare you?
Gets the 40, makes a sharp right, and he's sitting at this fucking red light right here. Passes out at the red light.
That's fucking, long. That's a long red light. I've waited there.
The fucking cops come up and they fucking tapping on the window or whatever, and he fucking wakes up, hurries up and locks the doors and fucking just cracks the fucking 40 and downs it. Puts her in park and fucking unlocks it. You may take me alive, but you won't take me sober, copper.
I like a man who's got a constitution. Got a bottom line.
But he then he goes up to the fucking, you know, he's at the police station, whatever, getting booked in, and they go, and he's just, so this one cop in town, way back when dad used to sell him weed and shit all the time, and then he became a cop, and so dad is like always mentions that to him, whatever. So anyway, so he fucking,
remember when you was cool?
Yeah, Judas. Yeah. So dad goes, you know what? You used to buy fucking weed 3 or 4 times a week, and now look at you, you son of a bitch. And I'm fucking tired of you picking on my boys, and fucking, if you keep it up, they're going to think you don't like them or some shit like that. Then he gets up and fucking blows a fucking gym teacher hanky on his fucking desk. Needless to say, he went to jail.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to solidify your position of not giving a fuck. And I was saying this last night. The people that I've known in my life that don't, you know, like a lot of people are like, I just don't give a fuck. I don't give a, I'm like, I care immensely about everything, but probably more than I should. But the people that I've known in my life that truly didn't give a fuck never uttered those words, or at least I never heard them say it.
Yeah, you don't have to. I can tell by the way you living, motherfucker. Yeah.
It's usually at the funeral where I'm reflecting on how much that motherfucker didn't give a fuck. this guy really did not. Yeah, he lived like he didn't care.
Damn, neither did the mortician. Jesus Christ, can we glue his eyes shut or something at least? Shit, well,
I just don't understand why he fucking fixed him up with his mouth open like that.
Why that motherfucker look like he's yawning?
Man, I did this private show on Friday for... It was in Circleville, which isn't too far from here. It's between here.
Where
and
was that? That was the VFW or
the AmVets?
Well, I'm a member of the AmVets. That's the only reason I brought that up. Local 2240. I say it like it's a fucking union.
Yeah, right.
I'm part of the local food maker union.
I'm a member. We'll go down and sometimes stick toothpicks in the VFW locks. AmVets. We ain't affiliated. It was one of those weird kind of shows, kind of like doing like a wedding show or something where like, nobody really wanted comedy, but somebody thought it would be a good idea. And Blair was there from Chillicothe. She sang the national anthem, but she said she was like, it was weird because I had to stand on stage while somebody was like speaking for a long time.
So she's standing on stage. It's the most uncomfortable fucking thing ever.
It is. And there was like, I was expecting 45 people to 65 people. I think it was close to like 150 people there.
Like, is this make us prevailing wage? This is not what I signed up for.
Well, it was early in the afternoon. It was 5:30. We didn't actually get started until about 5:45, maybe even closer to 5:50. But it was one of those. There was a couple nuns in the audience.
Really?
Yeah, a 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid, and I went. They asked for PG-13, so I went as PG-13. Like, I cut all swear words. But it was PG as 13 as fuck. Okay, that's as clear as I can put it. And I was comfortable. I was in the moment. I was present. But I wasn't as funny as I wanted to be.
Well, yeah, when they censor you, it takes the fun out of it.
It does. And then, but the best part about it was they paid me before we started. Because it's one of those,
so
sometimes
there's no pressure.
No pressure. Really takes a lot of that pressure off. And it was like it was a stage, but there was also this big barrier wood floor, like a dance floor. So I just took the wireless mic and I stood in the dance floor and kind of walked around, you know, as close to people as I could. Because if I had just been standing on stage, it would have been this huge barrier between me. and the people. And I remember, like, the gig came through Gig Salad. This is the first fully successful Gig Salad gig I've ever booked from beginning to end. And I've had hundreds of requests and estimates thrown out and stuff, like nothing ever comes back as a second communication. But the average age on the thing was like from 45 to 65 or whatever. I would have guessed, if I had to look at that room, that the average age was 65 to 85, or maybe 65 on up, period.
Yeah, 65 to death.
It was awkward, but I got to cleanse the palate the next night in Middletown, Ohio, with Donnie Baker.
Donnie the dude.
That was a hell of a show.
Butch.
Yeah, man, the road manager, that was so much fun. And so we get there early. Joe Robinette was there.
Did he end up hosting?
Yeah. Well, you know, he went first, and then he brought me up, and then I brought Donnie up. I don't even remember if he went up after that to close out the show in any way, shape, or form. I think Donnie kind of
just wrapped it.
I mean, I don't even. It just seemed like maybe everybody stood up as soon as he was done.
Yeah.
And just went to the merch line. It was one of the biggest, longest merch lines, and I'm
fucking
up.
Kills it. What was he selling? Shirts. And
shirts
koozies?
And all he had was like smalls and double XLs and T-shirts.
Ooh,
and then a ton of koozies.
Not good in the Midwest.
Yeah, I mean, he sold out of shirts and killing it in the koozies. And then I was upstream just by like maybe 5 feet, you know what I mean? So it was like I'm just poaching the line or whatever, and people are buying koozies. And I didn't want to undercut him, so I had to price match all his stuff. And made me an extra little bit of monies, and that was nice. And I want to give a special shout out to Brandalicious and Scotty Too Hottie. They're new listeners to the cast.
Hi!
Hollered at them on Facebook, and then took some pictures.
Shout out!
They Middletown. They came to the show, and it was damn near one of the best shows I've ever been a part of. Just because you know, it's over 500 people. It's one of
the
biggest
energy
Moose Lodge.
In those fucking rooms, dude.
And it was weird because we started about a half hour late. They pull up in this giant stretch limo. I mean, it was full rock star status. His road manager came up to me. He's like, "You want to take a trip out to the limo, take a look?" I mean, and it is stocked. I mean, it's rock star stocked. And I was like, "Hey, we might come back out here after the show." But I need to keep my. I got to get the family farm back. I can't.
My nose feels empty. Can we fix that?
It was a crazy night, and then everybody wanted to go out after the show, and I was sitting there, and I was like, "Man, I want to go out," but it's a 2 hour drive back home. I don't have a hotel. I know I can crash at any number of places in between here and there. I could have just got myself a hotel or whatever, but I made the responsible decision to just
you fucked up
drive home wasted.
You just want to come home.
I just want to come home, eat some supper, some leftovers, come through town,
have a meatloaf sandwich probably.
Mm-hmm.
I like a meatloaf sandwich, but I like mine made out of chicken.
It's funny about a meatloaf sandwich, man. I used to eat those all the time. Remember in Boston Market, it used to be good? Listeners might not know this. Jay's so Jackson. You're so Jackson. The first time you ever ate at Waffle House was with me.
That is correct.
I think
the
I bought you.
First fucking half a dozen. Yeah.
Which isn't even that strange, because once I got to know you, I realized that it wasn't one of those things where you were like, Waffle House, like, it's just too fancy. And that's what I thought it was. But I realized, like, after I got to know you, that you were like, it looks like a fucking old Midas. Why would I eat here?
Yeah. My old man barred from all Midases.
I mean, I've eaten in a Midas before, but why would I pay extra to do it?
You were talking about there were nuns at.
Oh, yeah. I said, I even addressed it. I was like, this is the first time I've ever performed for the clergy before. I said, I feel like the pressure's off because I just watched your new show on HBO, The Young Pope, and I loved it. And it was like crickets, right? Nobody's saying anything. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's Circle with ain't nobody got HBO there.
And I mean, they got HBO, but they ain't watching Young Pope. I said, Jude Law can be my Pope anytime. They probably haven't seen The Young Pope, but I wonder because. If there's a show with prominent actors about the Catholic Church, are the clergy interested? I mean,
I watched the first episode of that when I was up at Tom Dawson's place.
That's what got me hooked. It's deep. I mean, it's it's
like,
really deep.
Yes, this is like.
It's not an action show, that's for sure. But
like the opening scene, he's like, it's like a pile of babies and shit.
Abortion's a big theme.
I like that one. I was like, oh, finally some fucking softcore fucking something.
Baby snuff porn. All right, that might be the name of this episode. Baby, I look back and our lowest downloaded episode of all time is Tic Tac Insert. And that's the one where the prop comic told you the story or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know why it's the lowest downloaded episode.
That's the one
ever.
Where we got kind of fucking.
We were out in the
dark.
Weeds. A little bit dark. And I think we were phoning it in. I mean, not phoning it in, but you were on the phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like even though we weren't together, we were both a little bit under the influence, for lack of a better term, because it was kind of like a party episode. I listened to it. I was going back to listen to it. Like, why would? But I mean, the thing is like it's got to be just the title, because I mean, like, to be perfectly honest, it's probably one episode that if anyone was like, which episode should I not listen to? I'd be like, you can listen to Tic Tac Insert until 43 minutes, and then probably just want to cut that off right there.
Yeah.
But and it's not a bad episode. They're all fantastic episodes. I have it on the highest authority.
The Young Pope.
Young Pope told us was bona fide. He's a saint.
Bona fide.
You're gonna see us in season 3. Ain't been approved yet, but talking to HBO, been sending me emails.
Well, the reason I mentioned the nuts because my show Friday was hosted by a gay priest with amnesia. I text you this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, my first thought was I was about to like be like explain, but then I was like, save it for the cast.
I mean, he has the fucking...
Go through each one of those things, line by line. Gay priest, go.
Amnesia.
How does a... I mean, like, there's like... that. All of those things seem like an oxymoron to me. Like, if you have amnesia, doesn't everything... That trumps everything.
Yeah. Do you forget you're gay?
Right. Right. Or do you forget you're a priest? I mean, how do you... I guess...
You just come to at the fucking rest area?
Was he funny? Or was this just a shtick?
No, it's... I mean, I knew that he was a priest because I've been friends with him on Facebook for years, but I think I might have met him one time way back. It was my first headlining gig ever at Bear's Place in Bloomington, Indiana, and we've just been friends, but I didn't know... I knew he was a priest, but I didn't know... That was it. So when I saw him, I was like, hey, man, nice to finally meet you, whatever. He goes, I think we met one other time. I was like, how the fuck would you know?
Mr. Amnesia.
I was like, apologize. I didn't remember. I'm usually drunk. He's like, well, I got amnesia, so I got to reintroduce myself to people every fucking day, you know? I mean, he didn't cuss, but. It was a...
is it like recurring amnesia? Is it Groundhog Day? I mean, what the fuck's going on here? Type situation?
I don't even know.
He got tattoos all over his body?
Yeah, just dick all I saw.
Okay.
Yeah, looks like a sailor.
Oh, that's what he meant when he said he met you.
I met you.
I gave you my meat.
Okay. And then he started fingering me. It was weird. But
go across, son.
I was like, do you mind stopping that? I'm getting ready to do my big closer here.
The audience is getting weirded out.
Oh, boy, that was a rough motherfucker.
Did he get some laughs? I mean, was he funny? What the fuck?
They were... Drink. No, not really. I hate to say that, but...
I will say this. Did you hear that? Everyone, did you hear me say that? I'll say this.
To say that.
If you ever... are with me in person, anyone that's listening to this cast, and you hear me say, let me say this, before I say just what I was going to say anyway, slap me in my mouth. And then before I start to get really upset, say, you said, let me say this, and everything will be forgiven.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, will you please at least put it in question form? Will you let me say this?
Yeah.
Decide whether or not you can fucking say it.
Fair enough. What were we talking about?
Gay priest and
okay, if you're opening a show, your sexual orientation, your religion, and your medical conditions unless your medical condition is visible to the audience, like a Josh Blue situation or an Ali Bruner situation or something where, like, you're getting helped onto the stage or your arm is cramped up, you know, address that, you know what I mean? But other than that, your health, your sexuality, and your religion are things that an opener should never, ever touch, not because of any other reason than your job is to open the show, not make people say, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, are you reading
even the feature act should even the feature act should drop two of, I mean, I'll just say two of those three things. The headliner is the only person who has the gravitas to address all three of those issues. Plus, they've got the time to take the audience through an empathetic story or some sort of understanding. And they've also usually got the skill set. Now, a lot of people say, well, I headlined a show one time. I'm a headline. No, you're not a headliner until what you do is headline. I wouldn't say exclusively because, like, even headliners will open for a major act sometimes.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're not turning down 99% of your feature gigs, you're not a headliner.
I would agree. You have headlined.
You have headlined, yeah. And that's a perfectly fair thing to say. I mean, I have headlined. I've done every position there is, including reverse missionary. A lot of people don't even know that exists.
Yeah, it's fucking the priest taught me. The what was you just saying?
The sexuality, religion, opening acts, Judas Iscariot.
Oh no, about the headlining. And if you're only doing 25 minutes, going last and doing 25 minutes,
you're closing the show.
You're closing the show, right?
And I get upset. Clothesliner. I get upset when that's great. When people act like they have to define things for other people, and that's so. I want to be clear that that's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about how I define things for myself, because this guy wrote this article one time, and it's the title of the article was just clickbait, and I didn't realize. I don't even know if people were using clickbait at the time as a term, but the title was Stop Lying About How Long You've Been Doing Comedy. And so I read the article, and it was aggressive, but not as aggressive as that title, but basically saying, like, you know, your first open mic. I don't even remember what the argument was, because I remember reading it, and I was like, no, this is just your interpretation of how long somebody should be defining how long they've been doing comedy. Because for me, I did two open mics a year and a half before I started doing comedy. So I technically started in 2009, but I didn't start doing comedy until 2011. And in 2011, I started. I mean, because I have never stopped. So it's like, I did start, then I stopped, then I started again. So if somebody's like, how long have you been doing comedy? 6 years, I guess, about. But when was your first open mic? 2009. I mean, I try to be as honest as I can about it. I don't think that's everybody's story. I think probably most people have some sort of a slow build to what they did. But I'm not saying my definitions are what everybody should be defining themselves
yeah,
as.
But it's just the right one.
Yeah, it's just the one that makes the most sense. And if you ain't fucking doing it the way I do it, you ain't
fucking, you deserve to be hit with a fucking ball bat.
Aluminum, at least.
A little tink tank for your motherfucking ass.
Listen, you ain't been hitting the head with ball bat. I don't know if I trust you. I ain't done not a goddamn thing.
I ain't do not a goddamn thing. I ain't got no whiner. So that was Friday. Do you remember we did, where was it? Oh, we were doing Rio Grande.
Yes.
University.
Rio Grande. Well, you almost lost an eyeball.
Was that the same time that I outed the dude? Was that the
yeah,
same?
Yeah, yeah. You walked. You outed a guy, and he walked. He walked off the stage. I mean, well, not the stage. He was. You were walking. Let me set this up for people. Rio Grande College. Where is that exactly? Rio Grande, Ohio.
Rio Grande, Ohio, just outside Galveston, right 10 minutes from the West Virginia border.
So, we're doing a show. Carlin Haggerty, Jay Snyder. Myself, I'm Adrian Cosby, and Lori Graves.
Lori Graves, yeah.
And we're in a gymnasium where the college basketball team, which is actually a pretty good team from what I understand for a small school.
Hell of a soccer school.
And it's a big, but it's like a small college gym, but it's still like a massive high school gym is what I would equate it to. So the students are sitting in the bleachers. The mic is set up at the half court point, but closer to the sideline. And there's a stool. For all intents and purposes, it's a stool and a microphone, a wireless mic. And so Carlin goes up, does his thing, and it's young kids. So they're, he does as good as I could have expected anybody to do in that one spot. Lori goes up. She does great. I go up. I do better than I expect to do. But when you went up, you diverged from everything. Because I was like a coach. I was walking the sideline. Carlin and Lori stood at the mic stand. I started pacing the sidelines. You went up into the bleachers and started roasting everybody individually. It was a very Don Rickles enter from the back of the room and roast everybody on your way to the stage kind of a situation. And one of the first people that you started in on was this kid who was clearly, I don't want to say transitioning, but clearly struggling with some sexuality issues, whether it be on his own or his peers forcing him to struggle with it. But it was, you only had to talk to him for a few words before you went straight into the fact that he was most likely a gay man or whatever.
You got amnesia too, homo.
You outed the black guy as a drug dealer. As a weed dealer. I mean, you were just basically going through, like, stereotyping everybody. I mean, but it was beautiful, and everybody was laughing, and the only person that got upset, not even upset, but, like, walked out was the one gay guy. But that was also the time where the cop...
Are you sure that was the time?
That was the time. That was the same time when the cop hit you in the side of the head with his brim.
Because I had my flask.
Had you your OJ and vodka. And I was just thinking to myself, like, you had an orange juice bottle on the stool, and I was thinking to myself, like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody take orange juice on stage with them before.
Yep, not unless you're tripping.
I ain't drinking. It's got 6 hits in it.
That's funny, because I remember I was driving through Yellow Springs one time. I remember right where I was at. So if you're going out... like towards Xenia on 68 going out of Yellow Springs, there used to be a tree. It's on the right, and a ladder just leaned against this fucking tree for
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
they were right there. These two fucking look like hippies. They each have a half a gallon of orange juice walking down the street, and they are laughing their fucking asses off. And I'm like, I know what these motherfuckers are doing.
Yeah.
About to get robbed is what. But so Saturday, so we do the show Friday. It's rough as fuck. Rough show.
So where are you to set this up?
Friday we were in Burlington, Indiana. It's around the Kokomo area, Lafayette, around that.
Are these Gardner gigs?
No, my buddy Jimmy Shaw.
Okay.
Books him. He brings me up like once a year or whatever. So... we do that show Friday. It's rough, real fucking rough. And then, but this dude comes up after the show. He had brought his mother out. Her name was Eldora. And, his name, I believe, was Andrew or something like that. I was pretty lit. But, and I can see he's got like big crocodile tears. Just fucking, if he would blink, they're going to run right down his fucking face. Yeah. And he goes, hey man, just wanted to thank you for breaking the fucking monotony we've had the last few days. We're burying my dad tomorrow, and you fucking definitely took our mind off of it for a little while. Like, just gave me the best compliment that a comedian could ever fucking get, and it fucking ripped my heart out at the same time. So I buy him a couple drinks or whatever, but I knew that it was a shit show.
Right.
It was a fucking shit fest. And so then... Saturday, we're at the Kokomo Eagles Lodge, and which, I mean, they're voting on whether or not they're closing the motherfucker today. They're voting on. I mean, so it's like, it's on its way down.
Yeah.
But it was it started good, but there was this fucking old couple that, like, 80 years old, and so as soon as I get on stage, I go, you guys are adorable. I've been watching you because, I mean, the show got pretty fucking vulgar, and they were laughing at shit that I did not expect older people to be laughing at. And I go, I've been watching you guys, and you guys are laughing at shit I wouldn't think you would. And then they start just kind of fucking little banter back and forth, and then it was Chris and Carl was their name. And so I bring Chris up. I go, come on up here, Chris. So she's like standing up, and then she's like starts taking her jacket off. I was like, oh, fuck it, get sexy, Chris. Let's do it. So I fucking start ripping my clothes off. I'm acting like I'm going to do some kind of fucking strip tease or whatever. And I'm like, fuck, do I have to go through with this now? Anyway, bring them up. I motorboat her. Could it? It's a felony, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you ain't no Bill Cosby.
I ain't. The hell I ain't.
Okay.
I am when I'm out of town.
Hey, you walked away? You walked away from it. I guess she is.
Yep, fuck it. The so then I bring Carl, the husband. But they've been dating 17 years. Still not married. And I go, Jesus Christ.
That's common law.
Christ.
Well, that's common law. Everybody knows that.
Carl, I go, you put a ring on it? Just going to keep strapping a cock ring on it. What are you gonna... And then she goes, I've buried my last two or three husbands. I forget what she said. And she goes, so I'm not marrying him. Do you want me to, I don't want him to die or something. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, you're the fucking kiss of death. You're the fucking angel of darkness here. And bring him up on stage. I go, you guys want to do a shot? And they're like, sure, fuck it, let's do a shot. So I get three shots of Fireball. Give them each one. Well, they didn't fucking tell me that they had run out of fucking Fireball, and mine was fucking Jim Beam.
That's a rude awakening.
Oh, it's fuck, dude. I've taken a drink of.
That's like stopping at a gas station, and you're like, fill her up. And they're like, what kind of gas you want? And you're like, unleaded. And then they're like, all we had was diesel, so
yeah,
we put that in there.
It's fucking jet fuel. Sorry. So I fucking.
But you're full.
It'll do the job.
Yeah.
But it was
Rubble
disgusting.
Mints.
And so, but it was a fucking killer, killer show. Oh, the reason that I fucking brought that up is because I'm in they have like a little smoking room back there. And so I'm back here smoking, and there's fucking three drunk ass. These fucking ladies snuck in like what I would consider like a beach bag, like a fucking, it's like a purse, but a fucking 2.5 feet tall, three
right.
feet wide. No exaggeration. They must have had 80 Jello shots in it that they snuck in. And then I walk over to like, oh, they give me one. This is the only time, it was the only Jello shots I've ever had that where I'm like, yeah, that's, oh, you get fucked up off
yeah,
of
yeah,
these.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so,
still liquid.
Oh, dude,
Jell-O couldn't firm up.
Oh, you can taste about it. So I go to throw my the cup away that I did, and there's 30 or more empty ones in the trash can. So where they've just been sitting there, and they are fucking hammered. And one's like, that black girl. There's a black girl right up there. She's with us. If you fucking make fun of her, I'll give you fucking $10 right now. And I'm just like. Like, they're just getting on my nerves. Well, they got this fucking dude with them, and he's like, and I was outside smoking a cigarette. Somebody goes, he's the comedian. So this fucking guy walks up to him, and he's like, hey, do you, attack the crowd and stuff? I'm like, no, dude, I don't do that shit. He's like, well, if you want to, fucking, I'm your guy, fucking come at me or whatever. I'm like, well, probably not what I'm going to do, so, But then I said, so we're in the smoke room. Then I go on stage. They are fucking heckling so fucking bad to where I'm like, I'm...
Define heckling. They think they're funnier? Or they're having conversations?
They think that we are friends now because...
You talked to them.
Because we talked in the fucking smoking room. But the one lady in particular, Rose, she just wouldn't stop or whatever. So, I fucking... I let Rose fucking have it pretty fucking good. At one point, I go, Rose, let's fucking be honest. You're a fucking 4 at best.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Pipe it
tone
down.
Tone it down
yeah.
with the name. You're a carnation, maybe. You fucking piece of garbage.
Anyway, somewhere between a carnation and a dandelion.
Yeah. And then, So then this dude starts fucking heckling me or whatever. And I go, first of all, you're fucking closet queer, so just shut the fuck up now. And fucking huge eruption, right? And I've never called anyone a queer from stage before, but apparently Jared goes into the smoking room, whatever, right after that. And this fucking, that dude kind of hangs out there for a minute. And then he goes to the smoking room and then, yes, comes out. Yeah, it's. Yeah, you know, I am gay.
I've been waiting for somebody to let it be known. Fuck. Oh, can I see the microphone, please?
Okay, give it here. Give it here. I just fucking. I've been watching Joe Osteen all day. I'm just trying to be the best closet queer I can be. And Jesus loved me for it. And that's okay. I've been forgiven.
That's what the Lord do.
But it was a fucking crazy. And then we left right after the show and drove back. Well, I mean, we didn't get back to Jackson until fucking after 4 o'clock in the fucking morning. It was rough. And I took like a cooler full of beer with me. Tabitha brought over some, had like 6 Budweisers, and I fucking took those, and I was like, we're coming around to Indianapolis. I'm like, God damn, I go, Jared, taste this. And I fucking taste skunk to you. And he's like, I don't even have to taste it. Those are fucking skunked. He's like, remember last week when we opened up? He's got a car that's the transmission's out of, so he was like cleaning it out and stuff. He opens it, there's fucking 5-6 fucking Budweisers in it and have been for months. He takes him out to clean the car, sets him there. Gavin, my nephew, comes out, sees him, so he just grabs him, puts him in the refrigerator.
Of course. I don't want these
Tabitha sees him in the refrigerator, so she just grabs him and brings him over here. I see him in this fucking refrigerator, so I fucking take him
out. Yahtzee!
And it just hit.
It's the circle of skunk.
Oh, God, it's the. Fuck.
There's like degrees of skunk. There's degrees of skunk. And I think the longer it's been beer's been exposed to heat, the worse it gets. Because I've had like mildly skunked beers before.
It kind of just makes it a little better.
Yeah.
It just tastes fresh.
It kicks in that buzz a little extra hard. I know that's right. I remember one time I was at a high school party, and I was in a unique position. I don't know if it's because I looked older or because I had older friends that I had, because I looked older. But when I was like a freshman, let's back up. When I was in eighth grade, that's about the time I started like getting into the party zone. You know, like I was half an athlete and half a party animal, and nobody else in my grade got down like me. I don't think anybody in my grade or my age group got down like me until I was a junior in high school. I did have one friend who got down like me, Mike Campbell, when we were freshmen. But, we definitely, everything I did, he did. Everything he did, I did. But I was exposed to that party animal lifestyle very young. So my freshman year, I went to the graduation party, even though I probably wasn't invited or welcome, with some of my friends. And they were sophomores, I think. And we were drinking Boone's Farm that had been in somebody's trunk all day in June. And it was not like warm. It was hot. Like hot. Like when you would drink it, like.
Oh, God.
Like. You couldn't
it raises even, your core temperature.
You couldn't gulp it. It was that hot. You couldn't gulp
it. Was like it. Coffee.
It was like tea. It was like really sweet tea with a bite. With like almost like a fermented bite. And I drank half a bottle of Apple Boone's Farm, and I swear to God, and like I was already at that point, I was already, you know, I could drink 2 bottles of Boone's Farm. That was like when I knew I needed to not. My whole limit was basically like, how much can I drink before I can't smoke weed? You know what I mean? Like, I'd know, even to this day, I know how much I've drank so that I can't, don't mix this with anything.
I need to find out how much I can take so I can get to that limit and then pull it up, back it off.
Back
just
it off just a little, just a fuzz. Still got to get to sleep. But I drank half a bottle of that hot Boone's, and I don't know if I've ever been that drunk off such a small amount of wine in my entire life.
I've heard that warm alcohol hits you faster.
I can imagine. I mean, it seemed like it was like...
Or harder. I can't remember if it was faster.
It seemed like it absorbed into my bloodstream because, like, the first gulp I took, I just, like, held it in my mouth, and I felt, like, an instant buzz holding warm alcohol in my mouth. I don't know if there's anything to that or if it was just psychosomatic. Give me 50
nice
cents for that
word. That's a real word. That's a sentence. The, I went to the VFW. They have these shots up there called Snake Bite. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
Heard of that, but I...
It is, typically it's just Yukon Jack and lime juice, I think, or lemon juice. Lime juice. And that's it. It's fucking disgusting. But it's 100 proof, and they will knock your fucking dick in the dirt. So I went up there yesterday. I got a fucking a Snake Bite, a shot of Fireball, and a fucking Budweiser. I was up there 10 minutes because I had a little bit of work I was doing. 10 minutes. I do these shots, and fucking before I leave, I'm like, oh, I'm drunk.
Yellow.
I have them customize the Snake Bites. I came up with my own version. It is still Yukon Jack, but instead of lemon juice, pickle juice.
What?
Makes it 100 times better, and it's still fucking disgusting as fuck.
We're doing the cover shot right now.
We're doing this shit.
Boom. Look at that little flash. Let's get one this way. All right.
Nailed it.
That's pickle juice. That's the name of this episode. Actually, I don't know if pickle juice is a good... if naming the episodes is any indication... pickle juice would not be a good download.
No. Yeah, it's got to be something. It's got to be something that's a little.
Shout out to our guardian angel in the rental car business. I met for the first time at the show.
You met the connection
at Nikki. Alamo Rent a Car.
At Alamo in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yep. Well,
where the Alamo's at. That's where the Alamo's at.
Never forget.
But don't forget the Alamo. It's in the basement of the Alamo.
I don't know why I brought that up in the middle of that right there. But the name of this episode should be...
It's got to be something that... will draw people in. Like, I feel like...
Jay comes out of the closet.
Closet queer.
Queer's exposed.
Closet queer, part 4.
It's Leonard, part 6. I think that's taken.
It's got to be something. I feel like... I don't know. It's got to rhyme. It's got to rhyme. Like,
I put a lot of pride in the cover art and the titles because... while I'm editing the episode, once it starts cooking, like once it's rendering after all the effects.
Once the au jus is starting to come.
It's simmering, sautéing, if you will. I start working on the cover art and the title and then the description. And I feel like sometimes, at least in the last 4 episodes, because this will be episode 84. Yeah, I'll take another one. Since the last episode, 81... titled episode 81, I got lazy at that point because clearly when you name the episode after the number of the episode, you were phoning it in some regard. But I don't like to think of myself as being a phoner-inner, so I'm going to get creative with this episode. Hell, we might not even struck gold yet. Shit,
We out to our
dedicated listeners.
All
4 of you guys that listen to every single episode.
Means everything to us.
Except for Carlin Haggerty. You blocked.
Carlin, you no good son.
You've been blocked.
Carlin, where did we go? Oh, we went, me and Carlin. When's the last time I was on the cast?
It was just like 2 casts ago. No, 1 cast ago. It was just the cast before last. It's only been 1 episode.
So did we talk
about... You've been in, this will be your 2nd of the last 4.
Did we do one after Corey's show at the Liberty Funny Bone?
Have we done? No, you didn't talk about that.
That was...
You told me about it, but you didn't talk about it on the cast.
Yeah, that was it was a good turnout, and they I don't know how much they raised or anything, but it was a nice little turnout. And
how many tribute shows for Corey have there been?
I think just that one and
last night.
And I would imagine that Megan is gonna
pull one.
I would think so. I love Megan. She's a fucking.
She was at the show last night at Rocky's.
She is a comics manager.
Yeah. Well, I would think that for
she's
me,
a lover of comedy.
Maybe we'll call it Megan Knight. I will say this. Slap me in my face. I'll say it. Drink.
I'll punch you in the fucking zippers.
And then
going
punch
on.
Me in the wiener. Megan started at the grassroots level. So that doesn't happen a lot these days. A lot of times you get a job at the entry level position of server or dishwasher or whatever it is at any restaurant or any job, even at GE or, you know.
Fucking Waffle House.
Or damn Walmarts.
Fucking. Holy.
The odds that you rise to be in charge of that whole facility are, it's rare these days. It's rare that somebody starts at an entry level position and then becomes the general manager. But when that does happen, you have a sense of culture about the place that you work for that somebody who gets hired as an assistant manager or a first assistant and then quickly becomes the general manager, that they're mostly bringing the culture of wherever the last place or the last five places they've worked, they're bringing that in. So what I really like about Megan is that she's young enough that she can't have had too many jobs before she started working there. And she's worked there for so long that she knows what the flavor of that club is supposed to taste like.
Yeah, and she started at Joker's. I mean, that's how
long
she's
that's
been
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, she's Funny Bone was like, at least the Dayton Funny Bone is a unique place. It hasn't always been considered one of the best clubs in Ohio, but I think right now it's definitely.
It's my favorite.
I haven't had a sense. In the last year, I haven't had a bad experience there. Put it
I
that way.
I love that fucking club, dude.
I mean, it was my first place. It was the first place I ever felt like this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I mean, it wasn't the first place I had that feeling, but it was the first time that I realized that, like, when I got in and started, like, getting regular spots there, I realized that this was, like, rare. You know, that I was breathing rare air.
Yeah.
And it still is. Rare air for a lot of people. And I mean, even it's hard to say, but it's like it's one of those things that you have to be the most thankful for. We do most of our gigs are probably outside of the Funny Bone, but most of our money comes from them. So
yeah, dude, I'm just now starting to get some Funny Bone weeks popping. So
I got a bunch coming up. I my whole June is filled with Funny Bone.
My June is dog shit.
And my July is halfway filled, and after that, it's like it going out of business. That's the thing I love about comedy is that every 3 months, I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm like, well, that's the going out of business point.
Hanging out how dry forklift.
Yeah, thank God I got my OSHA 500 card still certified.
Oh my God, I'm just glad I'm fucking member of the AmFest Local 222-220. But speaking of, Megan's had to have been in comedy, because I've been doing comedy for 9 years now. Just hit 9 years. Renda worked at the Funny Bone probably a good year, if not longer.
Before you started?
Before I started. And I know Megan night. Was there, you know, has been in it longer. She probably 12 years, I would imagine, something like that.
That's long enough to be in charge, man. And
there's just such a high turnover rate in the fucking, as far as, you know, because she started, like you were saying, as a server and then just fucking climbed the ladder.
And I feel that that's the best way to get to the top of, I mean.
How old is she? She's not 30 yet.
I don't even know, man.
I don't think she's 30.
She's ageless to me. She looks young as fuck.
God,
I mean, I don't
damn
mean that
young
in,
kids.
In a degrading way at all. She's just got a youthful spirit and look. And, you know, say what you will about whatever chains, you know, Funny Bone has quite a few female general managers.
There's a lot. Yeah, fuck. I mean, just off the top of my head, you got Syracuse,
Iowa, Des Moines,
Iowa, Orlando, Toledo.
Dayton.
That's five. That's a lot.
Any more than that, shit, you got to write a law or something.
Okay, you know, I just wanted
to... Now to think about it, shit, I ain't even that big a fan of women. Sorry. I mean, I am, but I'm not.
I like priests.
I like amnesia. Maybe amnesia.
I think I do.
I when I was in Seattle, I don't know if I told you this, I went to the dispensary, and I got this, I got like a bunch of different types. I got some edibles, I didn't get any like, just a bag of marijuana or anything. I got some pre-rolled joints, and I got this vape wax.
So is it recreational?
It's all recreational, so it's all low, what I would consider low grade, but they had these pre-rolled joints that were like, supposed to be infused with THC oil, so they were like really supposed to be potent or whatever. I smoked four of these joints to myself, to the face, and could not tell anything had happened to me. But the first day, it was like early in the morning, I was waiting for Steve to arrive, and I smoked a joint, went to breakfast, had a great breakfast, smoked another joint, and I was just like, I don't know why. I mean, it's just, I guess it's because it's recreational or whatever.
Like, I'm glad I brought mine.
And then I was like, well, I got to go get some lunch eventually, because it was getting to be about like 1 o'clock, and he didn't get in until like 3, and I ate breakfast at like 8. And so I smoked a joint, and then I put the vape juice in, and I hit that a couple times, and I was like, oh, I'll go walk over there to Jack in the Box. I love their tacos, which are 2 for $0.99, and they're probably not real food, but for some reason they're so bad, I love them. I walked outside, and as soon as I got to the street, it was like 3 lanes, maybe even 4 lanes in each direction at a 4-way intersection, and buses are whizzing by me, and shit's like, rah, rah, and planes are flying overhead, and I was literally like freaking the fuck out. Like, oh my God. I mean, like.
Fucking panicking.
I Big don't know.
Big Ben! Parliament.
Yeah. Big Ben kids. Parliament. I was clearly way more affected than I had realized once I got out into the general area of the Seattle airport, SeaTac, if you will, and walked right back into my room and waited until I had to check out, and then sat in the lobby for another 2 hours.
Yeah, just eating all the cookies and shit. Where the cookies and shit?
Look at the cookies and shit. The worst part about it was we went to this rental car place called Fox Rent-A-Car.
Yeah, we ain't got no connection there, thank God.
And it was like the cheapest place. We spent the longest time acquiring the rental car I've ever spent trying to acquire a rental car. And Steve had this was all him. He was doing it. But the girl was nice and talkative and told us that we were going to need an easy pass kind of a situation, because there was only a couple tolls, but each one was $20.
What?
She was like, we're going to need...
Does it come with a fucking ball rub or what?
She said we should buy our gas from them, because out in Seattle, it was averaging over $3.50 a gallon, and they could guarantee us $2.99 a gallon or something like that. All lies.
And they took hook, line, and sinker?
No, he didn't buy any of the extra stuff. And I was like, I mean, that was most of the time I'm looking at Steve Sabo like, bro, you're making the wrong decision here. And but this time I was like, wow. I would have got that stuff based on her. And she was like, I'm going to come to your show. I live literally 2 minutes from the casino. I'm going to bring my friends.
I can fucking orgasm from sucking dicks.
I swear to God, man, I've never felt more conned in my life.
Ooh, what? You get a card number? You get a badge number?
Well, no, but I will say this. Slap me in my mouth.
I will say this to say that.
She did not show up at the show with any friends. But it was the better of the two shows that we did, by far, that Wednesday night in Seattle. And then the Thursday show was okay. But when you have a great Wednesday show, you expect the Thursday show to be excellent.
Yeah.
And that's the rub.
Thursday, a lot of times, is ladies' night.
In a casino, it's hard to say, but a lot of times on Thursday night, if it's a free show, it's broke people's night. It's like, we're coming out because we want to make sure we're getting all of our value out of this casino.
I hate a fucking casino.
I don't know. I'd say I'm about 50-50 on them.
I'm way under 50.
Yeah.
Way. And I don't fucking...
I never sell much merch. But the Wednesday night, I did. I sold about $80 worth of koozies.
Almost enough to absorb the fucking...
Oh, man. No, that was a loss. But it was a loss all the way. I mean, I had already lost money when I went to the dispensary. Before I went to the dispensary. But it was one of those situations where I think all told, I probably only lost about $50 on that whole trip, which isn't...
Shit, that's fucking...
For flying out and back? Yeah, I call that a win. But the other thing about it is, just by doing the gigs, I got in with that booker, and they book a ton of shit. So
What
Entertainment Max. They're West Coast.
Yeah, I know them, mostly from their porn sites.
Yeah, they got that good shit.
They got that good. They got that great.
Well, you know, I'll take what I can take. Let's wrap it up here, buddy. It's been a good one, and I'm enjoying my time here in Jackson. Did some day drinking.
You know what? I feel like we should stop up the AmVets.
You want to go up to AmVets and record some more?
No, just go up.
Just go up, just go up to AmVets.
Let me introduce you to where everybody knows my fucking name.
Yeah, I like to go to your cheers.
We're going to do it. We'll just go up there and do... Well, we ain't even going to discuss what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to do it.
All right. That sounds like a mission.
We'll get part of the next episode. I fucking saw you fucking perk up. Not what you're thinking, motherfucker. We'll stop up. So the AmVets on one side, 100 yards up is the VFW.
Let's do the tour. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you, Jackson, Ohio. Thank you, Middletown, Ohio. Thank you, Yellow Springs, Ohio. Thank you, Ohio in general, and the rest of the world. I want to thank all of our international listeners.
Seattle.
I know there's only a couple of you. I know there's only a couple of you over there in the UK, Australia. We've had downloads out of China.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate all y'all.
We appreciate that. We're thinking it might be a fucking sex slave.
We're looking to be the number one podcast in Iceland. But
it's going to be hard.
We need you Icelandic people to make that happen.
What we're really competing with in Iceland is... totally related.
Yeah.
They are
really killing it.
They've wrapping it.
We're going to meet them. We're going to fight them in the UFC octagon. And that's how I'm going to settle it.
And then we're going to fucking do commentary on it.
I'll tell you this. If you're drinking, every time we said the F word this episode, you're wasted as we are.
Oh, that's our new drinking game. Did we tell them that we're actually in a hammock right now? One hammock.
It's not a double.
We're not laying 69 style, though. We're just
are doing our Naked and Afraid tribute.
We actually got our head on each other's chest.
We're huddling together for warmth, even though we got a fire.
I got amnesia.
Thank you.
you for listening. Download more episodes from the Podbean app. Also available at iTunes and Stitcher or at totallyunrelated.com.